So what he woke me up with today was really exciting. He said, "You're no longer under the curse." And what's happened with Christians is they still think they have to fight the curse, but there is no curse anymore. And he said this when I woke up, to basically agree with that, declare it. The curse no longer exists for us in any way. And he also said this, ask me, this is Holy Spirit speaking, ask me to tell you or to teach you and to show you and to help you and to have you no longer live under a curse. That's what we're meant to ask him. He's the one, he's our helper. He's the one who's going to do it. We can't make ourselves believe it. We can't try to convince ourselves. Well, we can try to convince ourselves, but it's not going to work. Well, because people have been doing it for years, and obviously they're still in that place. But he wants me to read in Galatians 3:13, because this is the truth we actually live under. We're not living under a curse any longer. And when people get sick, or when we have trials or difficulties of any kind, whether it's financial or relational or any type, we are not to suddenly think we're under the curse again. We're to recognize that the enemy wants to trip us up, and he's got trip wires all over the field. And if we fall, it doesn't, what does he say? If a righteous man falls six times or seven times, he doesn't stay down there, does he? Who picks him up? God himself lifts him up. He's our daddy, he's our savior, and he is our helper. Elohim, three in one, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. So we are not under a curse at all. And this is what it says in Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Isn't that amazing? He became a curse. And what does it say? We no longer live, but Christ lives in us. So the curse doesn't even exist anymore. So when people tell you, oh, this is a curse from your grandfather, or your father was in the Masonic Lodge, or your ancestors practiced witchcraft or whatever, there is no such thing anymore because you're dead. You don't even live. It says you were crucified with Christ. Who you were when you were aligned with Satan through the garden, the fall in the garden, is dead. That person doesn't even exist. And Christ became that curse for you. It says he became the curse for you. So if he became the curse, how can you be cursed? It's impossible. It's not even, it's like spiritual physics. It's not a possibility. The same thing can't occupy, two things can't occupy the same space at once. Christ became a curse, so you don't get to be cursed anymore. That's the reality. Now, where we get stuck is the enemy attacks us, left side, right side, flanks us, comes from the west, comes from the north, comes from the east, comes from the south, and we start panicking and thinking, oh no, what did I do wrong? Oh no, I've got to fix this. Oh no, I've got to go back in my history. You know, all this nonsense. And what Holy Ghost was telling me this morning is no, don't do that. Don't believe that. Ask me how to have you no longer live under the curse. Because the curse isn't even real. Just ask me. And he makes it so simple. He says, don't even try to let me teach me how to not live under the curse or help me not live under the curse. He made it so simple this morning. He was telling me for, I don't know, an hour before I woke up, you know, because he can talk to you obviously in your sleep because he never sleeps. You know, it's very convenient for him. So he wakes, you know, you're in this kind of half sleep, half wake state, which I know everybody's experienced at one time in their life. And what he said is, ask me to have you not live under the curse because it doesn't exist. Not even ask me to teach you how to, or ask me how to help you not to. Ask me to have you not live under the curse. Our reality is that we don't live there. But Christians have been taught. They've been stolen from for so long. They get born again. They get excited by the thrill of, oh my gosh, I'm one with God. He loves me. I'm free. I'm forgiven. And then they make a mistake the next day and they decide it's all ruined. What did I do? How did I, what did I do wrong? Oh, God's upset with me. God's teaching me a lesson. I still haven't gotten rid of my history. Your history's gone. You have no history. You have no history. Your history is Jesus Christ. And what's his history? It is finished. It is done. It's been dealt with. So when you have sickness in your body, instead of looking at the evidence of the sickness in your body and going, something must be wrong with me, or I must have done something wrong, or I need to, you know, go back in history and dig up 4,000 years of garbage, that's not what we're meant to do. We're meant to go back to what? It is finished, it is finished, it is finished, it is finished, it is finished. He redeemed us from the curse. The curse was everything, all sin and death. And what does it say in Romans 8? It says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free, made us free, past tense, made us free from the law of sin and death. So the only law we are under is the law of the Spirit of life. Now that's a good law to be under. And I'm going to read some more of what it says in Galatians, because it's incredible. Galatians 3:14 says this. After it says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Well, he did that. That the blessing, this is 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, get what they receive, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Your promise is Holy Ghost, who lives in you. He's the one who woke me up this morning in my half-waking, half-sleep state to tell me, ask me, Jesse, he said, to have you no longer live under the curse. Because we can read the scriptures and we can go, wow, that's amazing promises. And we can be taught that, you know, to confess it 1,000 times a day and that's somehow going to make it real. Well, on one level, it's true. It makes it real because the word of God does not return void. So it's real in that way. You speak it aloud, it's going to return with fruit. But making it real, a living word in you, not just a confession. A confession is not the same as a living word. Making it a living word in you comes through Holy Spirit, because he wrote the living word and he now lives in you. And he is the promise of God. And through him, the word will become flesh in us, so that you can actually live as a person who is completely redeemed from the curse. Moment by moment by moment, in this life here on earth as it is in heaven. That's how we're meant to live. We cannot figure it out. We can't intellectualize it. We can't, you know, people want to do a theological treatise on these things. They want to dissect God. They want to turn him into some kind of science experiment. It's impossible. You can only understand the things of God through the Spirit of God. So he's the one we need to go to. He's the missing link in Christianity, and why so many Christians are so incredibly confused and burdened and living as victims, because they don't know him. They don't know he's the promise. They don't know he's the one who is going to make manifest in your even physical bodies the truth that you were redeemed from the curse. So he's the one that is crucial to have relationship with. We are not ever under a curse again, ever. When you become a believer, you are finished with that forever. You don't even have that identity anymore. Your identity is only in Christ. You're one with God. How can God be under a curse? If you're one with God, doesn't it say where whoever's co-joined with him is one spirit with the Father? Well, if I'm one spirit with the Father, how in the world am I under a curse? Because I'm one with God. That means I brought God under a curse. Tell me, God, the maker of the universe, is under a curse. Do you see how our identity, if we know who he is, we will know who we are. We don't have to seek our identity. Our identity is in him. We just have to know who he is. And when disease rears its ugly head, or just like, you know, we were having difficulties in connection online. He does that with your wiring in your body too, you know. So he tries to infect it or make the path crooked rather than straight. But we're not under that curse. I don't have to accept that. I don't have to run around being impoverished or being sick. He never told me to do that. He said he wanted to give me life, and you as well, life and life more abundant. And that doesn't mean we're running around after goodies and being material gluttons or grace junkies, because some people take it to that extreme. What it means is all, get this scripture. This is one you've got to use the rest of your life. 2 Corinthians 9:8. It's amazing. I call it grace on a plate. And what it says is that God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Do you hear all those alls? All grace, always abounding, all sufficiency in all things for every good work. This is our God. He is a God of all. He gives all things to us. That's why he made Jesus undergo that torment, so we could have all. That's the love of the Father. That's the depth of his heart towards us. He is not expecting us to earn healing, earn grace, which is impossible. Grace, if it has to be earned, is no longer grace. Then it's works. You can't earn your healing. You can't earn your salvation. You can't earn your peace. You can only have it. So his word today is have it. Ask me, Holy Spirit says, how to have it. To have it, that I am free from the curse. To have my redemption. To have my healing. To have my grace that you poured out for me, Lord. To have my provision. To have all sufficiency in all things. To ask me to have it. Don't even ask me how to teach you about it, because then we get caught up in our mental processes, and especially Western Christians. It's very different in developing worlds. They do not analyze God and try to figure out how they can earn this. They just have it. Someone comes along, prays for them, they want it. And even the ones that have been taught wrong, and there are a lot of wrong teachings in developing nations as well. They have a lot of law. They've been under the law. But do you know what is amazing about them? As soon as they hear the truth, that they are redeemed from the curse, that they are no longer under the law, they receive it right then and there. Even when their mouths are saying no. I had several people, we would pray in the, we were in Kenya, pray in the dirt. You know, literally in the dirt, in the dusty roads. It was wonderful. It was really like being Jesus. You know, you're getting dirty with the people, and you're kneeling down with them, and you're sitting in the dirt with them, and you're praying for them. And that some of them would have these ridiculous excuses. Like, for instance, someone who had, we were praying for people who had malaria, and they were all getting healed. Malaria just went. People think, oh my God, malaria. Nah, not for God. No, so easy. Just break it like that. You know, well, it's already broken. You just laid your hands on them and prayed. And this one man, and we had several people say this, that there's a lot of cults in Kenya. And they would say, you might pray the first time and they see a small change. And they go, well, human beings cannot be healed instantly. So this is their mindset, okay? So that's a pretty strong mindset, right? You think that could stop the healing. Doesn't. Prayed again. I said, watch this. Because human beings have already received their healing through Jesus Christ and his stripes and his cross. So I pray again, instantly healed. This man is trying out his arms and his legs because he was so weak. He was just sitting in the dirt next to his bicycle. He is instantly healed. Now, even his mindset did not stop him. So we've got to stop believing what we think is so powerful it can stop God. Do you know what? We have to admit that we do have doubts sometimes. We don't know how to have faith, so to speak, for our healings, or have faith for provision, or have faith for perhaps a restoration in a marriage. Do you know that it's okay to tell God that? We don't have to tie ourselves up in knots and try to be good little Christians, try to be good at faith. If I can be just good enough at faith, I'll get what he said he promised. But I'm just so bad at faith, and that's why I'm not getting it. That is a lie from the devil. This is what you do when you know you're not really believing it at all. You're trying so hard to believe it. But it is not about being good at faith that brings healing or restoration or his promises. It is his faithfulness that does it. Because doesn't it say even when we're faithless, he's faithful? God can't be faithless. Even when we're in doubt. Even when we're in fear. Now the way that wedges in between us and him is we get so caught up in worrying about, I'm not good at this, that we stop his amazing grace. And we don't stop it because we're so powerful. We stop it by closing ourselves off. Do you know it's okay to say to him, I am so weak, Lord. I have no more faith to give. I've been doing this for years. It's okay to say to him, I can't do it anymore. Because what does he say? In your weakness, my power is made perfect. All we have to say is, I'm weak. I don't know how to overcome this. I can't figure it out anymore. Do it yourself. Christianity has not worked for me. I want out. I want to actually let you be the Savior and not be the Savior of my own soul, body, or spirit. We have to, as Christians, especially Western Christians, not believe in the lie that we can figure out our own lives for ourselves and that it is our job. We're supposed to be children. And yes, we are meant to grow up into all things in him, but it's in him, not by figuring it out for ourselves. So one of the hardest things that Christians have, and this is whether you've been, you know, had long-term sickness or you haven't, is to really let him be God in all things. And that's why this morning, Holy Spirit, because he knew I was doing, you know, we were going to all be meeting today. He said, have me. Not ask me to teach you, ask me to help you, not even those things, though sometimes he will tell me that. But he said, have me let you know that you are no longer under the curse. Ask me to have you not live under it. So it doesn't matter what the curse is that comes at us, the enemy will try to convince us we're still cursed. He's a liar. Remember? Big, fat liar. Everything that comes out of his mouth is only lies. One of the best ways to deal with him when he's lying to you is this. When he comes up to you and says, you're never going to get well. You know that everything that comes out of his mouth is a lie, right? Well, if everything that comes out of his mouth is a lie, all I have to do is flip it. So if he comes up to you and says, you're never going to get well, you say to him, oh, thanks, Satan, for reminding me. I'm getting well. Woohoo! Because you only lie. Instead of listening to his lies as if they're truth. When God said, you're no longer under the curse. Why? Do you know the biggest thing, the biggest hang-up that Christians have is they actually don't get that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. They keep living their lives like they have to earn his provision, earn his healing, earn his sanctification, earn their freedom from the curse. He already did it. It is finished. We are not cursed. We're not to be sick. We're not to be impoverished. We're not to be struggling all the time. We're to be free. We are free, but we don't know how to live free. That's where Holy Spirit comes in. He's the one who teaches you to live free. He's your constant companion, your 24/7 teacher. When you don't understand something, Holy Ghost, I don't get it. You have to be that simple with him. You don't have to put on airs. You don't have to repeat scriptures to him. He wrote the scriptures. It's okay if you don't know them. He'll tell you about them. In fact, if you trust Holy Spirit as a person, this is what we need to do, is learn that he is a person in your life living in you, the person of God, equal to God, same level, same power, same omniscience, omnipotence, and omnipresence as Jesus and the Father. He's God. living in you, that you can go to him for anything at any time. And he expects you to, actually. He's waiting. Most Christians' lives, he's a bench warmer. He just sits there, waiting to be asked. He's telling us today, have me, have you, no longer live under the curse. Just ask me to do it. Don't try to figure it out. Don't confess a million times a day. Just have me do it. Ask me to do it. Say, Holy Ghost, have me no longer live under the curse. It's a lie. I don't want to live in a lie. In Jesus' name. And then you don't do anything unless he tells you. You don't figure it out. You don't write a million scriptures on your mirror and say them every day and hope that one day they'll actually sit right with you and be real. You ask him to do it. He is the living God living in you. And he wrote the living word. And he will make the word become flesh in you. So that abounding grace that God is able to make abound towards you. You and I can't do it. I cannot make grace abound towards me. And that's what's happened to Christianity in the Western world. They are trying to make it happen. What Jesus Christ already did. What an insult to Jesus. As if it wasn't enough to be beaten to a pulp, unrecognizable, and then be crucified, the most excruciating death you could put someone under. And then be sent to the depths of hell and overcome the enemy and then rise again. No, sorry, Jesus. I think I've got to add something to that. No. There is nothing to add. Now we just be his. And he's the one, the Spirit of God who lives in us, will teach us how to walk in the Spirit, in truth. Because he's both. He's the Spirit of truth. But he's been sidelined, sidestepped, denied, maligned, misunderstood, lied about. So no wonder Christians are running around. They're like orphans. Running around with no guidance. And they'll listen to somebody else. If I listen to this teaching, I'll be okay. Or maybe this guy has the answer. Or maybe this one. Or maybe this woman. Who cares? It doesn't matter if it's male or female. He wants you all to know. You are free from the curse. Right now. Forever. You're no longer under it. You were no longer under it as soon as you said yes to Jesus. And when a disease is hanging on and trying to, grip you and is a struggle for you and you're frustrated and hurt and sad and weak and confused and don't know how to get out from under it, you say to Holy Spirit, have me no longer be under the curse of this disease in Jesus' name. And he is the one who's going to walk you out of it. Whether he tells you to pray a particular scripture, whether he tells you to just relax and receive, whether he tells you to take 20 walks a day, whether he tells you to just drink lots of water, it's up to him. It's between you and him. It's not someone else's provision. Do you know that God is a custom-made God? He made every single one of us for a particular purpose. He made us in a particular way. Thumbprints, yeah? Everybody's thumbprint. Completely distinct from anyone else's for eternity. So he's pretty detailed and pretty distinct God. So you are a custom made. He has a custom made way for you to walk out your life with Christ. Nobody else has the same one. We can help each other out. We can give each other certain certain tips that we might have experienced, just like I'm doing now. But ultimately, it's a living relationship, and that's what's going to get people free or get them to walk in freedom that they already have. Okay, so someone is asked, how do I get Holy Spirit to help me get over a particular illness that's been coming back and forth? I'm fine for a while, then I'm sick again, fine. And their comment was that when I said, just ask him like you would ask a person, because he is a person, and you speak to him naturally the way you would speak to a person, that they said it sounds too easy. But Christianity is really easy. The hard work was done on the cross. We've got the easy part of the benefit. We have a 1%. That's all our part is. Our part is 1%. You know what our 1% is? Yes. Just yield. Just yield to Him. That's our 1%. He's already done the 99%. We just yield. We just give in. We just surrender. However, whatever word you want to use, He gives me the word yield. You just yield to Him. You're not figuring it out. So when somebody has an issue, a reoccurring illness, and I'll tell you about reoccurring illnesses, it's just the enemy trying to test you. Are you going to really believe this or not? So say you get completely healed. You're absolutely clear of whatever the illness is, physical, mental, whatever the illness is. And then suddenly, 6 months later or a year later, you start to get symptoms again. That's the enemy testing you at a more opportune time, like he did to Jesus, seeing if he can get you now. Are you weak enough now? If we say yes to that illness then, if we go, oh no, it's back, he's come in. If we go, no, that is not from my God, and I was redeemed from this curse, no, in Jesus' name, I don't receive you. This is one of the best ways of resisting it. You know what he says in James 4:7? He says, submit to God. That's the part we have difficulty with. We first submit to God. Don't just resist the devil by not submitting to God. You know how you submit to God? You know what submitting to God is? It's submitting to love. It's giving into the love that he poured out in you and for you by Jesus. It's just saying, I know I'm loved, so this cannot be real. If he gave himself for me, this cannot be real. I'm going to believe that. Then you resist the devil from that stance that you are completely loved and accepted. The enemy cannot overpower love. He can overpower authority. He can trick you in your mind. He can convince you that you don't deserve it. He can use condemnation. But he can't overpower love. If you know you are absolutely loved no matter what, who cares what he sends? Shut up! Why would I have to listen to you anymore? You're headed to sulfur stew. I belong to my Father, one with God himself. You're going to try to trick me? So this is what you do. You get to that place of you, and if you don't know that you're really loved, then you ask Holy Spirit, show me, teach me, help me to know I'm really loved forever. I am one with the Beloved who gave himself for me. I'm the bride of Christ. Make that real to me, Holy Spirit. Then when you stand against Satan and you resist him by saying, no, I will not receive this disease back. You have no right to touch me. I'm royalty. How dare you? Get out in Jesus' name. Do you know what does it say, the last part? He will flee. What happens is we get stuck in the part where he attacks and the fleeing. We give up on the attack mode. He attacks us and then we fall apart and think we're done for and that he has authority over us. He does not have authority over us. We have the keys of the kingdom. We have authority over his power. His power is bound according to our tongue. What we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. What we bind on earth is bound in heaven. We are not victims of that stupid Satan. We are more than conquerors. We are loved by God. That's the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony that overcomes the enemy. We are one with love. We are walking love. So the enemy has nothing on us. That's why it's so easy. When we get a hold of that, it is so easy. And you just speak to Holy Spirit. The first thing you've got to do is get to know him as a person. And you know how you get to know Holy Spirit as a person? Watch this. You say, Holy Spirit, I don't know you as a person. Teach me to know you as a person in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I'm going to go have a cup of coffee. And let him do it. He'll do it in his own way with you, custom made. His own way, his own timing. How he does it with you, because he knows you. Because why? He made you in your inward parts in your mother's womb. He knows how you work. He knows how you tick. He knows what's going to work for you and what isn't. If you're an intellectual person, he knows how to deal with that. If you're a really emotional person, he knows how to deal with that. If you're a real feisty person, you know how he deals with me? He's feisty back to me because I'm a feisty person. That's how he deals with me. When I get out of hand, he tells me off, puts me back in my place, you know? And I'm fine with that because I know he loves me. And I need it at that point. There were, for instance, like this. When he was teaching me about him, he wrote something called Introducing the Holy Spirit. And it's on the website. If you want to find it, it's called Introducing the Holy Spirit. And you can just read it. He wrote to me, you know, I was like his secretary. And he's just writing, giving me little bullet points on all the things about him that he wanted people to know. So I'm writing it out going, la, 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 you know, no issue. All of a sudden, I'm reading it, and I'm going, you know, I think we should put this one here. Do you know what he said to me? Leave it the way it is. And he was quite stern about it. Because I'm quite, you know, I'm quite feisty and strong-willed. So I went, oh, okay, okay. So I put it back in its order that he had, typed it up, submitted it, and then read it back. And I went, oh, you know, Holy Ghost, you're right. It is better this way. And I could feel him just looking at me like, are you kidding? I'm the Holy Spirit, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. You think I don't know what to say? I mean, he was laughing. That's how he deals with me. He may never be that way with somebody else. He may not need to be. Let him be how he is with you. Find out. It's a dance of intimacy. It really is. Holy Spirit. It says about worshiping. The whole, you know, worshiping God in spirit and truth. And that word worship in the Greek means for to kiss. For to kiss. So with Holy Spirit, we have the kiss of God. The very kiss of God lives in us. And he so wants you free. He's the spirit of liberty. He wants you to taste and see the Lord is good. Every day of your life, every moment of every day. And you can't do it, but he can. It is a supernatural process. Living as a Christian is supernatural. What's happened to us, we get born again, then we get taught all these mad ideas, these insane ideas that put us back under the law that we don't live under, put us back under the curse that we no longer are, that we've been redeemed from. Made us into trying to make Christianity a natural process. It is not natural. It is supernatural. Even forgiveness is supernatural. You know how forgiveness works? It is not a decision. You do not decide to forgive somebody who horribly, you know, molested you when you were three. You are not going to ever make that decision. It is not an intellectual decision. Your heart and soul have been damaged and wounded. This is what you do. You say, I cannot forgive that person, whatever it is. Maybe it could be somebody who stole all your money. Maybe it's somebody who divorced you. It doesn't matter what the issue is. Any wound, deep wound, that you really are not finished with, you go to him. And you say, I cannot forgive this person or persons. I don't even want to forgive those people. I might even hate these people. But I'm going to let you, Lord, whether you're speaking to Jesus, Daddy, or Holy Spirit, they're all one. It's okay. You speak to one, they all hear. It's not a problem for them. You say, I don't want to forgive them. I don't care what happens to them. I don't even know how to forgive them if I wanted to. But I will give you permission, Lord, to forgive them through me. And he will do it supernaturally. Forgiveness is supernatural. You were forgiven, and I was forgiven supernaturally through the cross of Christ when we received him. We were suddenly made a new creation. Tell me that was a natural thing. So forgiveness was given to us supernaturally. How are we not going to give forgiveness to others other than supernaturally? Christianity is not humanism. It is not psychology. It is not we can. That's why it's so easy. When the person said, that sounds too easy, it is easy because he's a supernatural God. I have to give everything to him. How am I going to recreate myself? How am I going to walk as a new creation? By figuring it out? By analyzing the Bible in my head? I don't think so. There's no newness of life in that. We are no longer walking under the law, walking as human beings. Go. You can look at Romans 7:6. I think it's Romans 7:6. I'm going to look at it and see if it is Romans 7:6. I know it's something 7:6. See? And that, yeah, it is. It's Romans 7:6. But now we have been delivered from the law. Get that. You're delivered from the law. Why are we living under it? Oh, if I only had more. And then faith becomes a new law. Oh, if I just had more faith. If I could just believe better. What is that? Since when is faith a new law? Faith is given to us by grace. Even when we have faith in him, what are we saved by? We're saved by grace through faith. How do we get that faith? Even our faith is an act of his abounding grace. So if we don't have faith for something, we don't know how to believe for, you know, having good provision or regular provision or income or abundant provision, we ask him, Holy Spirit, teach me how to have faith for this because I just am really lousy at it. That's all we have to say in Jesus' name. And then go about your day and do whatever it is that you need to do that day. Don't try to make yourself have faith. That's never going to work. You're struggling to do something that's impossible for you to do that he knows how to do automatically. What happens is we want to supplant God. I'm not saying people are even trying to. Some people are. Some people are arrogant enough to think they can. Some Christians. But often Christians just are ignorant. They're trying to be good Christians. You cannot be a good Christian. You are not a good Christian. You are either a Christian or you're not. There's no good about it. If you're a Christian, you're born again, saved by grace, through faith, a new creation, one with God. That's it. That's the end of the story. Filled with Holy Spirit, who will lead you, what does it say in 2 John 2:27? The Holy Spirit, who is the anointing of God, a person, lives in you and will lead you into all truth, teach you concerning all things. He's the one. All means all. Whatever that all is, whether it's you need to get overcome a disease or be freed from it, whether it's that your marriage is in trouble, whether it's that you never have money, he leads you into all truth, teaches you concerning all things, including those, as well as understanding the Bible. But this Romans 7:6 is so important. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by. We died. Doesn't it say that? I died. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Galatians 2:20. We're not even alive anymore. We are trying to make a dead man run our lives, or a dead man figure out our lives, or a dead man solve our problems. Dead people can't do very much. They usually just lie there. So we have to stop believing in the dead person that was crucified on that cross. We were crucified with him. Our flesh was crucified. That's what it says. We no longer live, but Christ lives in us. So instead of trying to get a dead person to figure out our problems, we go to the living God, who we are now one with, and it's no longer I that live, but he who lives in me, and we say, you're the living God. I'm one with you. You figure it out. How's that? Do you know how quickly you get answers when you do that? It's amazing. We are afraid of being real with God. And so we shut down, close off, hide our tears, pretend to him that we're not really upset, as if he can't read us like a book before we even have those thoughts, and run around trying to figure out our own lives. Having died to what we were held by so that we should serve, get where we serve from, in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. We can't be under a curse. And we can't serve under that curse, so we're going to be miserable, because that curse doesn't even exist for us. We're to serve in the newness of the Spirit. Well, he's the only one who's going to show us how to do that, the Spirit himself. Do you know Holy Spirit will teach you about Holy Spirit? That's part of that all, teach you concerning all things. Isn't that amazing? He has no limits. All you got to do is get to know who he is. That's it. And he will teach you. You don't even have to figure out who he is. You don't have to read a million scriptures unless he tells you, here, I want you to read about me. Then go read about him. But if he doesn't say that and says, you know, he's told me things. He says, Jesse, if you trust me enough, I will give you the word before you read it. And he does. He'll give me the word. He wrote it. I think he knows the word. Give me the word, and then I read it a week later. That's how intimate we can be with him. All we have to do is learn who he is, learn to trust him. And you know, how do you learn trust? You don't learn trust by like that. Trust is a relationship. You have to start having a relationship with him in order to trust him, in order to know he can take care of anything for you. Why do you think he was left to indwell us forever? Jesus went, I gotta go, guys. It's better that I leave. This doesn't sound like a good idea, does it? Better that I leave? The idea of the one who, you know, has been with you for 3 years with the disciples. He was there 3 years, you know, very intimate with them, did everything with them. And suddenly he's saying, well, I've got to leave, but it's better for you that I do. Because I'm going to pray to the Father to send the Comforter, the Helper, the Advocate, to indwell you forever. I think that's a pretty good deal. Jesus is now seated in heavenly places, the right hand of the Father. We're seated with him in the Spirit. But who lives in us in the flesh? Holy Ghost. To teach us concerning all things and to lead us into all truth. To comfort us when we're scared and when we're down. To guide us. To be our advocate. Even when we're in difficult situations, whether it's legal situations, he's our lawyer. Or whether it's spiritual situations where the enemy's attacking us and telling us how bad we are. I want to tell you this. If you ever hear condemnation, it is always from Satan or your own flesh or from somebody else. It is never from God. All condemnation is not from God. Every bit of condemnation that is set against us, all condemnation is not from God. It's just that easy. So when you feel condemned, you can know that God's not talking to you. Because he says, there therefore is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And that second part that people misuse, the second part of that scripture, it says, to those who walk according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh, they say, they make it sound as if it's an if. There is no if in that scripture. It says, to those who, we're the who, that's our identity. Those who are in Christ Jesus, that's our identity, who walk according to the Spirit. The Spirit lives in us. Yes, we can make bad choices. Yes, we can make poor decisions. Yes, we can willfully go against what God says. But that does not change our identity in Christ. That doesn't make us lost children. That just makes us silly. And we usually have to, you know, then we go through these consequences that he didn't want us to have to go through. But it does not change who we are. And it does not mean he now condemns us. Even if we do the stupidest thing possible that you can imagine, he has already condemned Jesus. How can he condemn us? He can't double condemn. There is no double dipping in spiritual redemption. It's done once for all. That's what he said. Once for all. Jesus died once for all. He can't die again and again. He can't be crucified over and over every time you make a mistake. That's no redemption at all. And then there would be no meaning and no power in what he did. When we are born again, we are immediately indwelt by Holy Spirit. So he's there. He's the one who makes us a new creation. Okay? And transforms us from unrighteousness to righteousness. through Christ Jesus. So he lives in us all the time. In terms of relating to him, it's basically just like if you're married. If you never talk to your husband, you'd probably not have the best of relationships, or your wife, because there would be no communication. So what he wants us to learn is to commune with him. And that means just being real with him. So if you wake in the morning, there's no specific prayer. I mean, you can say, hello. You can say, Holy Spirit, fill me up. And that doesn't mean he's not in there. Because you know what Holy Spirit does? This is how amazing he is. He abides in us, right? He's the abiding anointing in us. And he also comes upon us. So we ask, like it says in Ephesians 5:18, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can ask every morning, Holy Spirit, fill me up to overflowing for this day in Jesus' name. But I don't run around saying that as a specific programmed prayer. There's no programs and no methods with God. There's just relationship. However it works for each person. You can ask him to fill you up for whatever it is that day that you, especially if you have a difficult task, maybe you have something you have to confront or deal with. Fill me up for this. Guide me. Give me your wisdom and revelation in Jesus' name. It's that easy. Then don't worry about it. If he leads you to a scripture, fine. If he leads you to, you know, walk outside and look at the sunshine and the flowers, fine. He'll tell you. It's just having a living relationship. This is what it's really about. So when you, it's getting to know him. It's introducing yourself to him. And he designed, and I'm just saying this for anyone else who's listening who may not know, he designed an e-journal called Spirit-Led Healing and Living, and it's on the website, and it's an interactive journal, and he decided what each task was every day. It's a really user-friendly way of getting to know him personally. It's just day by day. You get to write whatever the responses are. He asks you something. It's a dare a day. Dare to trust him. Dare to hear from him. Dare to, you know, whatever. They're very simple. And you write, he has what he says, and then you have your response. And there's even lines that you can write down on, and you can just download it, okay? And that is a really simple way of getting, and it's a way that's not scary, because sometimes if we haven't been taught about Holy Spirit, a lot of people have been taught not to talk to him, that it's wrong, that they're glorifying him rather than Jesus. They're one, for crying out loud. And if Jesus thought it was good enough for me, for him to be indwelt with me forever, and Daddy thought he was good enough to send him, then I think he's good enough to communicate with. If he's the one who's supposed to teach me and lead me into all truth, well, then I better know how to talk to him, because otherwise I'm shot. How am I going to know what truth is? He's the spirit of it. He's going to have to communicate with me. So you can, you know, you can just start it so simply. All you have to say, Holy Spirit, I don't know who you are. I don't know how to relate to you. I don't know how to commune or even communicate. Teach me about you in Jesus' name. And then you leave it, and he will. He loves when you ask him. Do you know he's just asking for you? He's just waiting for you to ask him anything. And then he gets to be the teacher. It's just like a teacher in a classroom. Imagine a teacher in a classroom with no students. They're not a teacher then. They have nothing to do. Soon as we ask him, it's like we sat down in the class and he goes, okay, ooh, now we're ready for some lessons. He can't wait to pour into you. It's not a bother to him. It's what he's here for. So there's no specific prayer. You just ask him, Holy Spirit, how do I get to know you? Or fill me up today. And teach me about you. Help me to walk with you in intimacy, because I don't know how to do it. And I've been told all these rotten things about you, and I'm a little bit scared of you. He loves that. He's, do you know what he is? He's like Superman, and you're Lois Lane. He does all the hard work and does the rescuing. You just, you're the one asking for his help. Help me, Superman. Help me, Holy Spirit. He goes, yay, damsel in distress. And that means if you're a man or a woman. He loves it. And then as he teaches you, you become stronger and stronger in him. So perfectly connected that it starts to be that the words that you say are his words, because you're one. And you start to learn how you are one with God by Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit. And it becomes a living faith. Then you get living faith. It's through him. And all you have to do is ask him. You know, you don't have to figure out, how do I get to know Holy Spirit? You say, Holy Spirit, I don't know how to get to know you. Teach me. That's the end of your prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. That's how simple it is. That's freedom. That's the freedom Jesus bought for you to be one with God. That's why he saved you, so he could have you back. Not because you were filthy and disgusting to look at, so he could have you back, one with him in his very heart, one with his spirit. You became the Word made flesh now, filled with him, his very essence. That is incredible. I mean, if Christians really got that, we are one with the essence of God. I mean, it really doesn't get much. I don't know how you can get any better than that. You know, who needs drugs when you get that reality? It's amazing. That's how precious we are to him. He wanted to be one with us. We are possessed by God, the very one who made us. There's nobody else better to be possessed by. And if we want to get to know him in a personal way, we have to, you know, try it. We have to test it out. We have to taste and see. You got to taste your ice cream first before you're going to know what it tastes like. You know, if you can't be doing it out external at a distance. You just got to take a bite. And that's the Holy Ghost as well. Try him out. See if he is for real. You will be amazingly surprised how kind and good and alive and real and strong, and he'll laugh at you too. I promise you that. He laughs at me all the time. He does not laugh with me. He laughs at me, you know, because he knows better than I do. He's a good God and he only wants good for you. When we start to know that, we're not afraid anymore that, you know, we're going to do something wrong or we're going to upset him and maybe he's going to punish us. We have to know he's no longer punishing us because he punished Jesus for us. And it says that the death in Romans 6:9, that the death that he, Jesus, died, he died to sin once for all. So how can he punish us anymore? He already did. We're free now. We make mistakes, yes, but we are not those mistakes. That's not our identity. Sin is no longer our identity. Our identity is we are one with our Daddy who loves us beyond belief. And Holy Spirit is the one that he poured. You remember, how did we get love into our hearts? He poured it out into our hearts through Holy Spirit. So we have to get to know Holy Spirit so we know that love. Holy Spirit is an expression of the Father's love. The person of God living in us is his way of saying, I love you so much, darling. I live in you. Don't miss me. I'm here. Always. Even when you mess up. Always. I never leave you nor forsake you. That's Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus was talking about. Because he said he had to go, didn't he? And he did leave. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. But he asked Daddy to send Holy Spirit. Daddy sent him. Holy Spirit said, yeah, I'll go. No worries. And he said, I want to live in them. I'm going to be so intimate with them, I'm going to be on their insides. How cool is that? Jesus wasn't on our insides. When he was walking with the disciples, he was side by side. It was God with us. Now it's God in us. We're never separated from God. Never. Christians have thought for centuries that it's based on their behavior. If they do the wrong thing, they're separate from God. How can we be separate from the one who lives in us and we're one with? We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. How do you get separate from the temple, from the Holy Spirit who abides in you? He's one with you. Where is he going? He lives in you. He can't leave. He's one. It says he indwells us forever and we're perfected forever. Hebrews 10:14. Forever. Forever is a very long time. You know, it doesn't end. That's what it means. Soon as we said yes to Jesus, we were perfected forever. It isn't say yes to Jesus, saved by grace, live by law. That's what we've been taught. No, it's saved by grace, live by grace. And now grace lives in me. And Holy Spirit is his name. And all I have to do is ask him to help me with everything. And this thing that he spoke to me this morning, I think it's really important. He wanted me to get it personally because he loves me too. I'm not just here. He doesn't use me. You know, people say, oh, I want to be used by God. I don't want to be used by God. I want to be one with God. I want to live as one. I want to know what it's like to live in oneness. He doesn't use me. He lives in me and pours out of me because I want him to. And guys say yes. And he sure wants to. So this morning when he told me that, he's giving me this emphasis. He says, I want you to tell them this. It's not even teach me, teach me, teach me, because sometimes we can get caught up in teach me, Holy Ghost. And he does teach. He's an amazing teacher. He's the ultimate teacher. He will give you lessons par none. But sometimes we can make the teaching of another process, another hurdle, another obstacle. So he's saying, make it so easy for them, Jesse. Make it so easy for you. Just tell me, have me no longer live under the curse. In Jesus' name, Holy Spirit. Have me. Have me. Not even teach me. Not even show me. Not even help me. Have me no longer. Then he's completely got it. I don't have to do anything. I just receive. That's my only job. And if I'm lousy at receiving, I ask him to help me with that. Have me receive now, Holy Spirit. I'm bad at that. I don't know how to receive. Have me receive. I'm serious. This is as simple as Christianity gets. This is true Christianity. This is living as one with God himself, who loves you more than you will ever know. Probably until we reach home, heaven. Then we'll know. We'll be known. We'll know as we have been known. But right now, we don't know the depth of his love. But I'm telling you, it is magnificent. It is greater than you can imagine. Exceedingly abundantly, more than you can think or ask for. That's his love. And he's showing it and proved it. He proved it through Jesus. And then he proved it by abiding and inhabiting you. You know how it says, the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. Well, now he inhabits his people, not just their praises. You are his praise and you are his glory. You were made for him and he indwells you. You know, he inhabits the praises of his people. Well, guess what? He inhabits me. I must be his praise. Every believer, every person that turns to Christ and gives their life is a praise and glory unto God himself. They're walking praise and walking glory and walking love. That's our identity. Don't try to figure it out. That's just who you are. You just get to be that. Just like when you're born. You know, when you're born in the flesh, you belong to that parent, those parents, that father and mother. You don't have to figure it out. You're made flesh of my flesh. Now you're flesh of his flesh through Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. Heir of God, one with him. His glory and praise and his joy. Do you know one day, just a few days ago, I was blessing God. I was just saying it out loud. I said, I bless you, Lord, because some wonderful thing had happened. Somebody had gotten freed or saved or healed. I can't remember what it was. And I just said, bless you, Lord, bless you, Lord. He said, Jesse, you are my blessing. And he says that to you. You are my blessing. That's how he looks at us. He does not look at us as failed, fragile, broken, victim people. He says, you are my blessing. And I live in you. And I bless everything you do and everything you are. You're mine forever and ever. Amen. That's who we are in God. And we're only in Christ because we no longer live. So it's not like I have a flesh and that's not blessed. And then I've got the spirit and that is blessed. No, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. My old man is dead. There is nobody that I have to crucify. He was crucified with Christ once for all. Now I just get to live in him, Christ himself, through Holy Ghost, who's the most fun teacher. I can tell you, you will have such a blast. When you start getting to the Holy Ghost, your life as a Christian will be totally transformed. He is the secret weapon of God against everything the enemy can send at you. Holy Spirit himself, the person of God. That's why he's been so maligned. That's why people have been told, don't talk to him. Oh no, you're exalting him above Jesus. What? He's one with Jesus. He's one with the Father. How can I exalt him above them? If I'm speaking to him and acknowledging him and thanking him, I'm thanking Daddy and Jesus too. Just like if I thank Jesus, I'm thanking the Holy Spirit and the Father. They're not separate, just like we're not separate from them. It's a triune God, same essence, different in personhood. Same character, though. It's not Holy Ghost is nice and Daddy's mean. It's that they all are kind. They all have long-suffering. They all, you know, all you have to do is read 1 Corinthians 13, and you'll know who God is. That's it. That's him. All you do is replace every word that says, every time it says love, you do this. You say, in 1 Corinthians 13, 4, how it says, you know, love suffers long, you say, God suffers long and is kind. God does not envy. God does not parade itself. God is not puffed up. God does not behave rudely. God does not seek his own. God is not provoked. God thinks no evil. God does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. God bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. God never fails. There you go. That's God. That's who he is. And that's three in one. So you can go, Holy Spirit suffers long and is kind. Holy Spirit does not envy. Holy Spirit does not parade himself. Holy Spirit is not puffed up. Holy Spirit does not behave rudely. Holy Spirit does not seek his own. Holy Spirit is not provoked and thinks no evil. Holy Spirit does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Holy Spirit bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Holy Spirit never fails. So when you're asking, if I ask him to help me with something or teach me something or help me to taste and see the Lord is good, is he going to? Well, it just says he never fails. So answer is yes. But you can find out experientially by doing it. Isn't that amazing? Do you see the God that lives in us? I mean, it's incredible. I don't know how people aren't higher than a kite all day long, including myself. You can ask him anything. You can say this. Get this one. This is one I've been asking lately. Lord, Holy Spirit, I want to be in joy all the time, 24/7. I don't care what's happening around me. You said it's a fruit of the Spirit, and I want it. Give it to me in Jesus' name. That's how I talk to him. You know, let's not play. Let's not pussyfoot around here. Let's just be real. That's what I want. I don't like it that I get upset because of circumstantial things. I want to have joy. You said, Jesus said I was supposed to have joy that was full. Well, I want it. You said it's a word of the fruit of the Spirit. Well, you're the Spirit. It's your fruit. I want it. You know, I'm serious. That's how free we can be with him. We don't have to play namby-pamby Christianese games. Be brave. Have some bravado with him. You know, we're from the tribe of the Lion of Judah. I mean, that is not a weak, wimpy tribe. That's courage on a stick. That's what we got. And if we're not courageous or we're not bold, we can ask for it. Help me to be bold, Lord, or make me bold, or have me be bold, however we want to say it. Because I get scared about this, or I get scared about that, whatever our issues are. We don't do any of it anymore. That's what real Christianity is. We don't do any of it because we're dead. The only one that lives is his life living in us. So how can I do anything? I'm a dead man. I can do nothing without him and all things through him. And I'm only through him. I'm in him. We're one. So we might as well let the one who's one with us be the one who does everything.